Amen. Amen. Well, good morning once again, and it's great to have you this morning in the house. It's nice to be together, and I got to tell you a story. So last night, around 7 o'clock, 7-ish, 6:30, 7-ish, felt like 40 days of flooding, you know, there's rain. Last night we had so much rain here, and I've never seen it. It leaked and just dripped everywhere. Every hole you see, it just was pouring every direction, and it was wet, just slush everywhere. The keyboard was drenched with water, and the under this, the drums, the side rooms, the back of the stage, the tech, the offices, everything got flooded. The kids' area got flooded, and we were really thinking whether we're going to actually have a service here this morning, and it was that bad. So the reason I say that is that it takes a group of people who are faithful to God. Amen. I was really thinking, should we call it off today and maybe meet somewhere else? We just couldn't meet here. But I want to say thank you to everyone that really worked hard tirelessly to rescue everything and then put a plan together, to contingent plans, to works, kids in the gym, because the kids' church area, the roof, the tiles fell, is just soaking wet, and bringing, what do you call, dehumidifiers. There's so much you've done. I just want to thank God for everyone that helped. Why don't you give a hand to the team that actually worked hard? Amen. Amen. I got to say, it does put, you know, you don't want those kind of things. It happens, because then I go home, then my kitchen's flooded. And so there's everything flooding. And you kind of think, gosh, this is, Lord, are you coming back? And God is coming back. And but he's not going to come back in floods. He's going to come as a king. Amen. He's going to come as a ruler. I just want to say thank you once again. It's so good that we can actually be to meet here. So good. Thank you. Amen. I want to pray, and we're going to jump into our week 5 on the book of James. And just want to recap very quickly that we started on the book of James. It's 5 chapters, and we're doing a 6-week series on this, and we finish it next Sunday. The first week we talked about how do we deal with trials and tribulations, hardship. And James, just a background, James was writing this book for early new Jewish Christians. They knew the Torah, they knew the tradition, they knew the culture, they understood how to be religious, and they gave their hearts to God, and they're learning now not to be religious. It's not about your behavior, but it's how to have a relationship with God. God who redeems, God who saves inside and out. Amen. And so he writes to them and says, look, when you go through tough times, count it as joy, because let faith work in you. Amen. It's perfect work. And so he's encouraging them to be overcomers. And we are today, as though James is writing to us and is encouraging us, be an overcomer. Last night, my head was spinning. The house, kids somewhere else, this. We just didn't know what to do. And I said, okay, God, we just trust in you. And we need to be an overcomer. When you don't understand, you trust in God. Amen. There's no point in teaching and talking if you don't practice it. So James, the book of James, is all pragmatic. He's not writing theories. He's saying, guys, you know it. So live it now. So be an overcomer. Then he says, works without faith is dead. There's no point in having faith when faith is not showing through your lives. When you're not living it out, then there's no point in having that faith. So we talked about dead faith, living faith, and deceived faith. And I pray and hope that we will have a living faith, not a dead faith or a deceived faith. Deceived faith, we've talked about that. And if you missed any of these, go and listen to them, please, on YouTube or Spotify, Expression Church NZ. You will find everything there so you can listen to them and go through the series. Then we jumped into the third week, and we've talked about, now I lost my train of thought, you know. Isn't that funny? Can someone help me what we talked about? I just saw something that distracted me out there. Oh, gosh, let it come to me. I had it. What did we talk about? You guys know? Sorry? Wisdom. We talked about the wisdom of God. That's right. That was last week. Wisdom of God was last week. What? That's right. Taming the tongue. Thank you. How could we forget that? Taming the tongue and making sure that we control our tongue, not in our flesh, but with the help of God. Amen. We can't control our tongue in our flesh. We need God. And then last week we looked at the worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, and how sometimes these two wisdoms can make things quite murky, that we think that the worldly way is godly way. And that's dangerous. The worldly way is not godly way. Godly way is godly way. And we think, yeah, we live in this world. Yes, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. That means we are to be, as I said last week, we are called to be peculiar people. That means to the world, we are weird. We are weird because we don't get drunk. We're weird because we don't sleep around. We're weird that we don't chase after the worldly things, as though we need some things to survive. But our motivation and our goal in life is not to accumulate, possess. That's not why we live. We live for the glory of God. And we need God's wisdom to help us how to do relationships, how to do marriage, how to do parenting, how to do business, how to live a life out in the world that glorifies Jesus. Amen. And then this week we're looking at, title it, Don't Be Deceived, The Conflict is in the Heart. That's the title. And James is now writing in James chapter 4, and it's quite interesting what he's writing. It's very pragmatic. And so let's pray, and before we get into the word. Father, we ask you this morning, would you speak to us through your word? It's your word that changes us, Lord. It's not us, it's your word. We don't want to go through motions of life and go through just keep things status quo, but God, we want you in our lives to make a transformation, a change that will last forever. So we come at this word, we open our ears, we open our heart to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So James is now writing to this audience, his audience, the Jewish early believers, and it's like he's writing to us. And he jumps into chapter 4. And he's challenging them. It's a very challenging scripture. Very, very challenging scripture. But we are focusing on verse 1 to verse 10. Very challenging scripture. And he's challenging them that the conflict, he's addressing conflict. He's addressing, there are issues there. We argue, we fight, and we misunderstand, we hold grudges. And he's saying, where does it come from? And then he gives a godly wisdom or godly solution to that. And he's encouraging us to follow God's way. So we're going to break open this word this morning. You know, I put this way, that conflict is inevitable. It's expected in a broken world. We can't get away from conflict. It's on the news, it's in our communities, it's in our household, it's in nations are fighting against each other. And the topic does not begin by asking whether or not there's going to be conflict, but what causes these quarrels and where do they come from? And the key verse really is in James chapter 4, verse 6. It says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Amen. So verse 1 to 10 is broken into two parts, and I'm going to explain that. But before I get into that, I want to say, God has not designed us, you and I, to live an average life. He did not design us to have an average life. He didn't design us to go, oh, well, this is my life. It's not so great. Might as well just settle with average. God did not die on the cross to give you an average life. God looks at you and I to be significant. And the significance is not in our behavior, as though the world sees that your significance is in your behavior. God is not interested in our behavior because we are taught to be good. Behave good. God is not interested in a good behavior. The world is happy with it, but not God. God looks at a heart. I can be holy, behave holy in front of you, but I could be absolutely a terror outside the church, in my house. God doesn't want good behavior. The good behavior comes because of my love relationship with God. Because it's my heart that beats for God, that wants to please God. So because of that love of recognition of His lordship on my life, that I choose to live a godly life. Now I fall, and we all fall, but we get up again with the help of God. So it's really to do with the heart. So James is talking, verse 1 to 5, he's talking about the cause of conflict. And then 6 to 10, he's talking about the cure to conflict. So let's read from verse 1 to 5. What is causing these quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have. So you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you do not have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Don't you think the scripture have no meaning? They say that God is passionate that the spirit He has placed within us should be faithful to Him. So he's talking about there's a conflict. And then he goes on to the cure in verse 6 to 10. He says, and He gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up in honor. Amen. There's a strong word. It's a strong word to the church today. It's a strong word to say, look, you are fighting, but the quarrel, the reason is not out there. The reason, the issue is here in your heart and my heart. Early on in my marriage, my wife mentioned something which stuck to me quite strongly. And she said, because, you know, people behave, so as people behave, I react. And she said, why do you react that way? I said, because they're annoying. It's always them. They're annoying. And she said, well, they can be annoying, but you have a choice to behave the way God wants you to behave. You have a choice how you behave. Don't stoop down to their level. That's what she said. I said, I still hold on to that. Amen. So, it's always about the heart. James is addressing this. I'm going to break this now. And the two causes of conflict is verse 1 to 3. James is talking to Christians. He's asking them a question with and answering with another question. And James is telling us what causes conflict. And the cause of hidden war is in the heart. Do you know, if my heart is not settled, I get irritated by everybody. I know you don't. You're all good people. But I do. When my heart is not right, I get irritated by every little thing. Even if it's too windy, I get irritated. So the cause of hidden war is in the heart. And he's saying, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? That's a question. And he's answering with another question. Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? It's within me. What James is saying to the church is, take responsibility of your behavior. He's asking me to take responsibility of my behavior. And he's asking me to use godly wisdom and tame my tongue and count it all joy and walk in faith. He's take responsibility of your behavior. Isn't it coming from within your heart? And verse 2, he says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. Do you know, we may not kill physically today, but we can kill people with our words. We may not murder people with a knife and a gun, but we can murder people with our tongue. We may not attack them on physical face to face, probably, but we attack them on social media. We are keyboard ninjas. On the phone, be real. We assassin people's character. We do. None of us are perfect. We all have fallen short. Do you agree? Guess what? We all have. Me too. We all did. So James is writing here, and he's saying, and he's addressing the issue. What is the goal? And he's saying, you know, I was looking at this, and it's the it's that selfishness, the selfish nature that drives us to get what we want. There's a war within, because it's not going my way, so I want to fight you. Because I want to be right. And I am right. And I'm so humble about it. So it's called hedonism. And hedonism is a pursuit of pleasure. It's sensual and self-indulgence. The chief goal for hedonism, the chief goal is of life, is to live for pleasure and the desire to avoid pain at any cost. And only live for the worldly pleasure, which we looked at last week. The worldly pleasure is, the earthly pleasure is worldly, sensual, and demonic. We want what pleases us. And that's what hedonism is. It's I want what I want because I like it. It feels good for me, so I will do it. It doesn't matter if it hurts someone. It feels good for me, so I'll do what I want to do because my heart says that. But do you know, your heart might say that, but my behavior has implications because it might hurt my family. Amen. Your behavior, you may think, yeah, but my heart says it. I got to go do that. No, there are people that will get upset. And let me tell you, I talk to some of the parents, and they say, oh, you know, my son or my daughter is into this so-and-so, and I can't fight them because they're arguing, but my heart aches for them. They're not happy with it, but they have to love them. So there's a internal issue that it goes on. And Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Who can understand? The heart is deceived and it is desperately sick. It's deceitful. That's why when your heart says something, please go talk to somebody. Talk, involve other people in your life, wise people, wise counsel. And wise counsel is not in the gray hair. Wise counsel, as James said, if you are wise, anyone among you, let them show in their what? Conduct. If you are wise, show it in your lifestyle. It's not in writing books. It's not in singing songs. It's in your lifestyle. I can write amazing books, but I don't believe in it or don't walk in it. So a conduct, a wisdom is in our lifestyle. So he's saying, hey, heart is deceitful, Jeremiah. So the purpose in life for many is to, for us, is to find life in God, a pleasure in God, and to seek God. And that's what James is saying. As Christians, please make sure that your life is found in God. And he's encouraging them to find the life, the joy in Christ and not in the world. Amen. So be that in our lives. Secondly, he's saying it's prayerlessness. It's prayerlessness. And in verse, second part of verse 2, he says, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. It's like, God, give me that the new toy. Give me that new jet ski or a new boat or whatever you're praying for. And I said, so that I can really take the church people out fishing. That never happens. God, give me that job, please. God, I want that job. Give me that husband. Give me that wife. You know, that boyfriend or the girlfriend. I'll do everything for you. Let me tell you, I prayed that prayer. I told many of you know that I went out with a girl for 6.5 years and she dumped me literally like that, Christian girl. And I prayed, God, give me that girl. I'll do anything for you. I prayed that prayer. But God didn't. Praise the Lord. God gave me a godly woman. Not that the other one is not. But just saying, God knew what I wanted and what I need. And we celebrate our 19th wedding anniversary on the 6th of December. Praise the Lord. You know? I know, 19 years. Some of you thinking that's nothing. But by the way, for my children, I am ancient. Just letting you know. So all those who are older than me. God, give me that, please, so I can, oh, look, God, give me that big, big, big house so I can entertain Christians. God, give me this. Sometimes God doesn't answer. Why? Because you're not praying. So it's prayerlessness. Two reasons for conflict is, firstly, is there's a selfishness for selfish pleasure, hedonism. Second one is prayerlessness. We don't ask, and when we don't ask the right way. Amen. So where does fighting come from? Why are there wars in the world? Doesn't it come from a lustful, from a selfish desires? That's where it comes from. I heard this saying once. It says, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. If all I'm keeping is vengeance, as good Christians, I have to bury it all. I can't tell you. But as you keep it all inside, depressing it, it has to come out some way. Man has never been changed other than through the power of the gospel. A woman has never been changed. You look at the whole history, no one can change the heart. Only God can. Only God can. You can change my behavior, but you can't change my heart. Amen? So a cop can come and arrest me. He's changing my behavior. He's taking me, putting me in the car, taking me to a prison. He's changed my behavior. He forced me, but he can't change my heart. I can change my children's behavior, but I can't change their heart. I can teach them not to do A and B, but I can't change their heart. Only God can change our heart. I can have good behavior towards my wife, be all loving and all that, but if I, in my heart, if I don't love her, God sees that. I can buy our flowers, I can buy our clothes, I can buy our whatever the world says you should buy, we buy those. I can do all those, but God sees the heart. The behavior might be right, but if the heart's not right, the behavior won't last long. Because if our behavior is in the flesh, we get exhausted. We get exhausted. Oh, I'm a Christian, I have to go to church. You can come for 3 months. After that, you are not here. Why? Because you try to do it in your strength. I try to do it in my strength. No, God wants us to have a heart for Him first. If I cannot love God, I cannot love you. It's the heart. Only God can give us a new heart. He takes the heart of stone and replaces it with a heart of love, heart of gentleness, heart of kindness. As a wisdom, we talked about godly wisdom is peaceable. Amen. Last week, it's a good heart. The causes of conflict is worldly. So the verdict from God, what is the verdict from God? And He's saying, you adulterous, adulterers. So He's saying, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? So if you think if you can live worldly from Monday to Saturday and come to God on a Sunday morning, that is worldly. We cannot. I was talking to a young chap and he was saying, oh, you know, Pastor, I never used to sin on Friday and Saturday because Sunday I have to go to church. But Monday to Thursday, I sinned. I know you laugh, but we all do that. Oh, Sunday, I have to be holy. But Monday to Saturday, no, I'm not trying to condemn you, but I do pray, church, that we are convicted. Conviction draws us to God. So He's saying, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I don't want to be an enemy of God. I don't know about you. I don't want to be an enemy of God. I can't love the world and love God. It's like me saying to my wife, I love you, but I also love that other woman. Come on. It's like I sit there, we're going on a date. Soon we are, actually. And we go on a date, and I'm like, yeah, you can talk to me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Keep talking. Yeah, yeah. Do you see where I'm coming from? If my heart is divided, I love my phone, I love my wife, it ain't gonna last. I know some of you want a date and relationships and all that. You gotta decide what you love. Worldly things. How many of us know when the worldly things we buy them that gives us a pleasure and happiness, but that won't last long? You can buy the new car, you can buy the new diamond ring, you can buy the new bag, you can buy the new toy that you want, a big, big car, or whatever you want. It won't last long because true joy is in the heart and the heart has to belong to God. Even when giving, people give out of guilt. Don't give out of guilt. Give out of a cheerful heart. It's the heart. You know, and then we blame each other. We blame the church. We blame the government. We blame everybody. Don't blame. It's my heart. How is my heart? And it is worldly. It is enemy to God. You become an enemy to God. The worldly system is evil. Lust of the flesh. People controlled by their passions. Lust of the eye. People living for possessions. The pride of life, people who are proud. I achieved all these things. It's my money. It's me. I'm awesome. I put a table last week on godly wisdom and earthly wisdom. And if you can go have a look at it, have a look at it. When we become the lust of flesh, the lust of the eye and the pride of life, if we have these, we are an enemy to God. And can I please remind us, James wasn't writing this to non-Christians. He was writing it to believers. He's writing it to you and I. So I want to ask us, where is most of our energy going into? Is it into God or is it into world? What are you dreaming right now? What captivates your thoughts right now? Is it God or is it world? Verse 5 says, do you think that scripture has no meaning? They say that God is passionate that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. Now here, what is that spirit? What is that spirit that has been put in us? My understanding is the spirit of God. God puts that spirit in us, and because he's put that spirit in us, we are to desire for God. We are to long for God. We are to obey God and do what he wants us to do. And God loves us so much that he's in trying to encourage us today. He loves us so much that he doesn't want us to miss out in our life with God. And so I want to encourage, see, I'll label this, I'll go back to this again. If my heart's not anchored to God, my relationships are not strong. I'm blaming my wife. I'm blaming you. I'm blaming my children. I'm blaming my car, I'm blaming the weather, I'm blaming the hospital, I'm blaming the doctors, I'm blaming the government, I'm blaming everybody, and then I turn into, if I don't control my tongue and my mind with God's help, then I'm blaming God. Please don't fall in the trap where you think that you can blame God. This is not a happy message. This is actually a challenging message. This is a challenge. I don't want us to be happy, comfortable. And you know, God doesn't want us to be comfortable. God doesn't want us to just kind of live a good life and do whatever you can. No, God wants us to do all that we can because he's in us. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Who is strengthening you? Is it God? Or is it your possessions? Is it God or is it the lust of the eye? Is it God or is it the pride of life? What's really strengthening you? Is it your bank account or is it God? Is it your career or is it God? What is strengthening you? So what is the cure for hedonism? What is the cure for this pleasure? What is the cure for this selfishness? Because we all have a selfishness within us. We do what we all do. If you think you don't, watch on the 4th of December. Who goes first for food? I'm sure this 4th of December now, nobody wants to go first. That's why I announce, mums, children, ladies first. Selfishness. We are all born with selfishness. That sale. I had somebody tell me, oh, you know, the service is too long. And I said, yes, I will be long. Because I'm not here to entertain you from 10 a.m. to 11:30. If that silly woman can wait at Costco for 36 hours, I am sure you and I can wait for another 15, 20 minutes to encounter with Jesus. All because we are all doing Jesus a favor. No, we are not. If I'm hungry for a discount, for a sale in Costco, I will wait the 36 hours. If I'm hungry and desperate, I will go for the garage sale. Planning, you know, or Boxing Day sale, or now we can do it online. You see where I'm coming from? It shows what we are hungry for. The bric-a-brac revealed what we are hungry for. So much stuff, praise the Lord. That's all in our household. Anywho, here we go. Verse 6, and he gives grace generously. This is the cure for selfishness, for quarrel, for anger, for bitterness, for bad heart attitude. This is he gives grace graciously, as the scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Amen. What is this grace? This is not the grace that the grace he gave us to save us. It's a grace where it's a grace that is given to us on a day-to-day basis. It's given to us on a day-to-day basis. So he says, verse 7, so humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I love this picture because humble yourself before God. Let your face be seen by God, face to face with God. As you are face to face with God, humbling yourself, you will see the back of the devil. Because you resist and he will flee. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Do you know when we go into church, we say, oh, let there be joy, let there be joy, let there be joy. But James is writing, let there be sorrow in you. Let there be grief in you. Why? Because it's a true repentance. He's asking, oh God, I've sinned against you. Oh God, I've let you down. Would you forgive me? The Bible teaches in Proverbs, it says, a righteous may fall seven times, but he will rise again. That means God will deliver him again. That grief is say, oh God, I walked with pride. Oh God, I walked with anger. Oh God, I walked with deception. Would you forgive me? I want to get on my knees before you. Let there be tears. So he's saying, let there be sorrow and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. So what is it? The one cure for conflict and worldliness is grace of God. We need the grace of God. And the grace is a generous grace. We need his grace every day. We need his grace. It's a daily grace. He's giving us grace to live this life. When we hear that we got cancer, when we hear that our family member died, we need grace. Amen. When we hear someone's house got burned down, we need grace. We need grace for every bad thing that happened. We need grace of God. Not just a little bit, abundant grace, generous grace, greater grace in our lives. Romans 5:20 says, but as people sin more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Isn't that good? As people sinned more and more. In New King James it says, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. As we sin more, his grace abounds more. What does that mean? It's not giving us a license to continue to sin. It is saying that my grace is so sufficient for you that I pray that, this is God saying, I pray that you will come back to me. He prays, he intercedes for us. And the Bible says that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the goodness, not law. If you save people by threatening them that they will go to hell, only talk about hell, they will give their heart out of fear, not out of faith. Because I've seen that. I've heard those teachings. A lot of my friends gave their hearts to God because of fear of hell. And if your faith is based on fear, that's not true faith. A lot of Christians follow God out of fear because they don't want to go to hell. If I can turn that context, imagine if my children love me out of fear. That's not good. I want them to love me for who I am, not because of fear. I'm talking about the negative fear. So one best example of this is when Paul says three times, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6 to 7 and 8 and 9, and he says, Lord, would you please remove this thorn in the flesh, remove this suffering from me, remove this suffering from me. And God replies, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for you in your struggle. God's grace is sufficient. We can ask God, God, give me grace. Give me grace to journey this life. I don't want to do it alone. I don't want to do it with a hard heart. Some of us think, oh, my family's been rude to me. My family's been harsh to me. Well, it's sad that there have been, but look at Joseph in the Bible. His family sold him into slavery. And he became the prime minister in Egypt. And then when his brothers came, Joseph said, what you intended for evil, my God has turned it for good. Because he kept his heart right with God. My grace is sufficient for you. He gives more grace to those that are struggling. More grace. So how do we tap into this grace? How do we tap into this grace? It's number one, submit to God. We are to call to submit to God. Submit our plans, submit ourselves, our selfish desires, everything, and say, God, these are areas I'm struggling with. This is what I'm struggling with. God, I'm struggling even with dead faith or deceived faith. My faith is not living faith. I submit that to you. Submit yourself to God. Don't submit other people before God. Submit myself to God first. I can say, Lord, I submit my wife to you. Change her so she can treat me well. Lord, I submit my boss to you so he can treat me well. He is the problem. My wife is the problem. My husband is the problem. I'm fine. My pastor is the problem. I am holy. Submit it to God. Number two, resist the devil. I love that the devil is cunning. I love it because God has given us wisdom to recognize that. Our discouragement doesn't come from God. Confusion doesn't come from God. They don't come from God. But if you don't resist the devil, he always tempts us and puts a seed of doubt when we are tired. He is so clever that he tempted Jesus himself. The devil knew who Jesus was. So do you think that you and I are immune? Do you think you and I will be spared by the devil? No. The devil will tempt us. So resist the devil. How do we resist the devil? Armor of God. Ephesians 6. Put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. And keep praying. You know, the whole armor of God, there's only one defense, offensive, the rest is all defensive. Helmet, brace, breastplate of righteousness, you know, the belt, shoes, everything. Only sword of the Spirit is defensive, offensive. So that's the word of the Lord. But put on the armor of God. Then he says in Ephesians 6:18, once you put on the armor of God, in that is three times he says, stand, stand, stand. And then he says, pray. Keep praying. Keep praying at all times with all supplications and keep praying. So resist the devil. Number three, draw close to God. Verse 8. Submit to God. Verse 7. Resist the devil. Verse 7. Draw close to God. Verse 8. How do I draw close to God? Cleaning of our hands. He says, clean your hands. That speaks of action. Then purify your hearts. Speaks of our attitude. My hearts can be clean, but my attitude can be quite wrong. Cain and Abel, when they brought the offering, one's heart was pure, one's heart was not pure. So God accepted Abel's and rejected Cain's. So Cain got upset and killed Abel. God does not look, that's why they say man looks at the outward appearance. God says to Samuel, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God is looking at your heart. Why do you serve in the church? Why do we serve? Is it to get recognition? Is it to get a title? Is it to say that I've done a favor? No, God, I want to do it for you. God sees the heart. Amen. God sees the heart. So draw close to God. God, cleanse my hands. Purify my heart. Number four, be broken for your sinful behavior. That's what James is writing. In other words, be miserable. Be miserable, so miserable that you've let God down. Amen. You know, in marriages, when a husband lets a wife down, the wife can get quite grumpy. Or in a business, a boss, if an employee lets a boss down, the boss can be quite grumpy. Okay? But imagine, am I letting God down? God is not grumpy with us, by the way. But the question is, am I letting God down? If I'm letting God down, I'd rather repent and say, God, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry that I fell for that sin. But your grace is sufficient for me. Please heal me from that sinful habit, Lord. Touch me the way I think and the way I speak. Would you please tame my tongue? Would you please give me wisdom, Lord, so that I can have those attributes, those eight attributes, to be peaceable, to be in excellent in how I handle myself, Lord. Lord, would you give me that wisdom, Father? Be broken. Proverbs 24:16, the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. Isn't that funny? One little thing can upset people. One little thing can upset people, and they throw the wet towel. I'm leaving you. I'm leaving the house. I'm leaving the work. I'm resigning right now. I'm leaving this church. I'm leaving. And I'm telling you, you can leave, but wherever you go, you will find yourself. I can leave this church. Please do if that's what you want to do. But wherever you go, you will find yourself there. For the first 6 months, you'll be happy. Seventh month, it all starts liquefaction. What is in there comes out when everything's shaking. That's what happened when the earthquake's liquefaction is, it all comes out. Why? Because I never dealt it in here, so after 7 years, it's coming out here. Oh, I shouldn't have gone done that business, you know, and we talk that way. But I'm saying, no, a righteous may fall seven times, but he will rise again. The Lord will deliver him again. So what am I saying this is, please, do life with God. Humble yourself. Last one, fifth one. Humble yourself. And he will lift you up. That's in verse 10. The way to go up is to go down. Amen. The way to go up is to go down. Instead of looking at churches and challenging churches, he said, God, my relationship is with you. And I want to encourage you, don't form your faith based on the leadership of this church. Please don't, because none of us are perfect. My faith should be formed and foundation should be from the Word of God, not by your behavior. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your faith should not be based on my behavior, because some point of time I might upset you, because that's called relationships. If your faith is based on my behavior, that's why a lot of people, when a pastor falls, the church disintegrates. Why? Because they form their faith on the pastor. Don't do that. My faith is not based on my wife in Christ. No. She is second. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. My wife will always be second. My children will always be third. Because if I didn't have a wife, I won't have children. Amen. A lot of families, wife goes aside, children come in between. Children become the priority. No. Children always go on the side. Wife, because of wife and husband, children came. Number one, God. Number two, wife. Wife is always second. Husband is always second. My business is always second. Whatever the second, make God one. Number one, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Seek God first. Seek God first. Seek him. Not with my prayer, God, I pray that you give me the... No, Lord, let my will be done on earth as it should be in heaven. No, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I give my cup to you. Would you remove this cup? No. God, please remove this cup. No. It is my will for you to go through this pain. It is my will for you to go through this journey. But God, you have not answered my prayer. Yes, I have not answered, but I've got a greater plan. Would you trust me? Seek God first. And I want to say this as I close. When we seek God first, my love for you is out of purity. My love for my wife is out of purity, not out of fear. My love for my children is out of purity, not out of fear. So I'm not parenting out of fear, I'm parenting out of love. Oh, I don't want my kids to go there. Oh, because, the devil's going to get them. I don't know what they're going to get into, cigarettes or whatever. Oh, I don't want, no, I'll keep them all for myself. Oh, God, protect them. Guess what? He will protect them till they're 13, 14, 15, 16. They're out and they're out there. Why? Because we never trusted God over our children. And we've never trusted God's wisdom in our lives to parent well. So don't hold on to them because they're going to grow up and go. Seek ye the first, the kingdom of God. What is the cure for conflict? It's the heart. It's the grace of God. And say, God, I have been foolish to project my pain on other people. God, I've been foolish. I've been deceived. Cleanse me, Lord. I put aside my business plans. I put aside my aspirations. I put aside my goals. That later on in chapter 4, he says, don't boast about tomorrow, what you can do and what you will do, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. So seek God first. Father, you spoke to us through James, but more importantly, your Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And Lord, as you declared in James chapter 4, verse 6, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We want to be humble. We want to have a soft heart to you. We want to have a pure heart. Would you please, Lord, change me first? Change my heart first. Remove the murkiness. Remove the anger. Remove the deception. Give me peace. Bring purity. Bring joy. Bring peace. Bring wholeness. Bring healing. Jesus, come into my heart. Give me grace to walk this journey. Can we stand to our feet? Can we take a few moments? And can we search our heart? Lord, would you shine your light into my heart? Would you show me areas where I'm drawing my identity by my behavior. But I know it's not about the behavior, it's about the heart. Search my heart. Reveal my weaknesses so I can humble myself to you. So you can, hallelujah, give me grace, give me joy, give me peace, that the world cannot take it away from me. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. We receive your righteousness. We receive your peace. We receive your joy.